from yesterday, and then we'll pick up and continue on the Gemara. Be'ezras Hashem, and I really hope that this will be the case, by the end of the week, we will get to the two dots on Gimel Amud Beis, and we will have resolved the issue of Rav Papa, and finally we'll know which Todos are not Kayotze Bohen. So, and then Rav Papa really wasn't pulling our leg and, you know, playing games with us the whole time. They really are Todos that are not Kayotze Bohen, and we'll know which one those are. Okay, so in terms of what we had yesterday, so we saw that in a boar of tests, if the animal falls in and dies, that you are pater. You're pater. And we gave two reasons. L'chor, I was thinking about it a little bit yesterday. Maybe there's a third approach as well. Maybe that's what the first Lashon of Rashi means. First Lashon of Rashi means. Again, it was clear. Just to, again, make it right. Right. Great. Shor Shemes Bibor Tes. Right? So we said is Pater. Either we said, right, one possibility is because I got the Lushna Basha, the end of Rashi says because
it's for the it can only damage, not
it can't die to
kill.
Right, the board didn't do it. Right? Right. Lo Mace Mahmasabor, it must have been something else. It was clear in the Rambam that it's because it's not normal. It's not normal. It can die, right? Right. Yachol lamos machmas habor avo hava onus.
Also, the beginning of Rashi, like the bar.
So we said yesterday the beginning of Rashi. There's maybe a third option here, and maybe that's what the first lesson of Rashi means. It could just be, and if you read Rashi, the simplest way, this is what Rashi means in the beginning. Rashi at the beginning sounds like maybe it's just a Xeris HaKasav. Maybe it's just a Joshua. Maybe we don't know why. Right, what does Rashi say at the beginning?
The Bar Makatu.
The Imnabash Yerba Mordishu Mace Pater Balabor Muza Chayiv. And then the only thing that we mentioned is Bevesi Yaloh. We don't have any reasons whatsoever. So it could be, maybe a third possibility, maybe the same as the second, it's a little bit different, I think. Maybe it's Xeris HaKasav. Okay. Either way, the question that does remain is, in this case of a shor shemes in a bor of tests, when we say that you are putter, are you putter from the full value of the animal that died, but chayiv for the nezek, meaning if it broke its leg and then it dies, if it broke its neck, and then it took a little while and then it dies. A board test, you are chayiv for damages. So are you chayiv for the damages, whatever that is, however we're going to calculate that out, but not for the death, or when we say that you're putter in gansen, right? You're putter completely, even on the nezek. Understand the question? Question's clear? When did we ask that? Right now. That was the last thing that I wanted to get to yesterday, but we didn't get to. This was one of the points. What?
Based
on Svar. Again, when we say that it's putter, this word putter over here, does that mean putter, right? Domain Nisa? Right? Or. The money for the misa and a filu ala nezek, even on the nezek, you're going to be pater. Or do we say no pater? Right? Ahalo al nezek. The fact that you damage, and a board test can damage, why should you not be chayiv for that? That's the question. We did not ask this yesterday. This is a shirayim from the Rebbe of Monday. The question remains from yesterday. Okay? So the Shita Mikubetza Sandaf Nun Humabez quotes from Rabbeinu Yohainas son Milunil, one of the great Rishonim that we don't have on too many Masechtos. But Rabbeinu Yohainas son Milunil says,
that the Baal Habor is going to be chayiv on the nezikin, on the damage.
Isn't that what the Gemara said?
Where?
If it's dead, it has a broken leg, you pay?
Yeah, Ted Nezikin Avdei Misalav. Ted Nezikin Avdei Misalav, then.
Yeah, that's true. So it falls into a bore of test and gets injured, then you're going to have to pay. But what if it dies? You don't have to pay. But what about the injury? Again, presumably there is, maybe it's only a few minutes.
What if it's at the same time?
So if it happens at the exact same time, then maybe there's no question.
Are you saying the injury that led to its death?
Correct.
That's part of its death, no?
That's what I'm asking. That's exactly our question. Maybe that's our question. That's one explanation of our question. My question is it breaks its leg. It's not going to survive. Whatever the reasons
it's
are.
Bleed out or something.
What?
It's going to bleed out. Let's say.
Okay, let's say it's going to bleed out. That's
it
easy.
It's like fumes or whatever
happens. Yeah, correct. Right. The hemo of the boar will have to get to at some point. That's the guara enough enough. And then they start seeing it. That's the question. Again, if it happens at the same time, there's no question. Meaning, if it has a heart attack on the way down because it got scared, then the Lord is no nezek. But let's say it's clear. Let's just take a case where it's clear. It's clear that it broke its leg, and there was some wound that's bleeding. It's going to die. But it's not dead right now. So Luyitzir was going to survive, right? I would have to pay for that damage. Just because it's going to end up dying, does that mean that I am putter from the damage or no? I still have to pay for the damage. So Rabbi Yehonah's son, Rabbi Neil, he says, right, the Baal Habor is chayiv al hanezek shekodem misa. The Baal Habor has to pay for whatever damage takes place before the animal dies. If we can't figure it out, so obviously he's not going to have to pay anything. But in a case where it's clear, and again, when it's clear what the damage is, then we have to figure out how you figure out that and evaluate it. But that's, l'chor, let's figure out a mold. That's what Rabbeinu Yehonah's son, Milim Yom, suggests. The Meiri disagrees. The Meiri says, you are putter legamre. Putter completely. So again, Machlokas Rishonim, in the case where the animal falls into the vortex and dies, but there's damage which takes place prior to death, is he going to be chayiv or not for the damage? So we're going to say, what is this machlokas about? What are they arguing about? So one possibility, yeah.
Maybe if the injury causes death, then it's really encompassing death and the injury is irrelevant.
Well, right? One possibility is how do we view... What?
Is that what the Meiri's logic?
The Meiri is that one possibility is that the issue, the point of contention, is how do you view the Maisa when it dies? Meaning if it's one action happens, it's one falling, and there's going to be one big result, so do we break that smaller thing down into its components, or do we look at the overall picture? So the Meiri is going to say, we'll look at the overall picture. This was a nefila which caused death. So we're not going to say, oh, this second, there was hezek, then there was death. No, we have to look at the whole picture together. Well, Rabbi Yehonah says, why would you look at it that way? Just break it down to its components. What happened? It fell down and it got injured. Injury or chayiv to pay?
It's just not really practical.
What?
Practically, I don't know how you'd be able to tell.
How you have to tell or how you have to figure it out?
Bro, isn't the whole, well, I don't know, but isn't when your athlete gets injured,
yeah,
you pay the guy money because I don't know if you could heal the animal, but it's in return for the animal injury.
Right.
Once the animal's dead.
Well, again, you're right. But on the other hand, the fact that you're not paying for an animal that dies when it falls into a boar of nine, is that logical?
It's the animal's fault, whatever.
Well, in case it's zero second, so then it's not logical.
Right.
It's kapata. That's what the Torah says. If you want to say that lo meis matmas habor, so that's an interesting in between. Because my boar, meaning it didn't die from the boar, but it did die because it fell into the boar. Right? It wasn't my boar that actually killed it. It was something else.
Also
and if it's the middle one, and if it's an onus, so, right, so then you're that works the best with what you're suggesting. Right? The middle approach works the best with what you're suggesting, which is that what did you say again?
I don't know if it's a whole
this one says that it can die because of the boar, just you're not high because it's an onus. Oh, yeah. So you were suggesting was that when it comes to the nezek, right, the idea is to make the person whole from the loss that you caused. Right? So when is it true that you have to make the person whole from the loss that you caused? If you're responsible for it. The chiddush here is that if it dies, the person is still not going to be whole. He's still going to be out his $500, ox. He's still going to have $500 ox. But you can't make me responsible because I had no reason that I had to watch from oxes falling in and dying. But in terms of damage, if it's not considered an onus when it comes to damage, then I should pay. I still have to make them whole for the $300 value of the ox that it got minimized. Straightforward.
No, it makes the most sense because once you say lo meis machmas habor, it should be lo nezek machmas habor. What's the difference?
Because it goes by. I don't want to say it's literally statistics, but that's the easiest way to explain it. Meaning, statistically, just because it's the easiest way I think to explain it, statistically, it makes sense. And an overwhelming number of times when a shore falls in a small pit, it's going to get hurt, and therefore I'm responsible to watch that. But it's not going to be, statistically speaking, it's either highly, highly unlikely or impossible that it's going to die. That it's going to die. So it's not a problem saying that the Xeris Akasa is just saying that in the situation in which it dies, I'm telling you, even if it dies because of the boar, you're not responsible. It doesn't make sense.
Right.
Again, maybe the number two and number three are not necessarily so far away from each other, right? The onus may be the explanation of the gezeiras hakasuv, but they are slightly different. Okay, that's one possibility. If the tour is because the other possibilities that you can see that you can suggest that depends on which of these, this machlokas may depend on this. Right? Yeah, oh good. That's another possibility of explaining it. I'll spell it out just for those who didn't jump ahead. Right? If it's a tour because of the onus of Osai, if the reason that you're putter because when it dies is because I should not have been responsible for it, I have no reason, right? Then there's no onus when it comes to the nezek. Because I had a responsibility, even in a boar that's less than 10, I have a responsibility to make sure that animals are not going to get injured. I don't have a responsibility to do enough that they're not going to die. But to make sure they're not going to get injured, then that I do have a responsibility for. So it should be chayiv. And certainly if Misa is putter because the boar didn't do it, right, then the boar, fine. Why would you say that you're putter? If you learn that it's Xeris HaKasuv, so then you could say that the tour is that if the animal dies, part of the Chiddush is, then it makes it more sense as Xeris HaKasuv, part of the Chiddush is you don't even have to pay for the Nezek, you're putter completely. Is it logical to say you're putter completely? According to Rabitan said yes. But if you don't buy into that Svara, then you can say it doesn't have to be logical. Go with pure logic, you're right. You should have to pay for the damage. Because there's only a limitation when it comes to death. Anything short of death, you have to pay for it. But if it's Xeris HaKasuv, that's part of the Xeris HaKasuv. The Torah says when the animal dies in the boar of Tess, there's no obligation to pay. Why not? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said.
because the Kaddish Baruch Hu said. So you could then learn that the Machlokes in Rabbeinu Yohanan and the Meiri is based on which of these understandings, right? If you say like the Meiri, it's Patur completely, maybe he understands that it's Gzeiras HaKasuv. And if you understand like Rabbeinu Yohanan, then it would be one of the first two options over there. Okay, yeah, it's a little bit of a lumdish fun. We're going back to the inside of our momentarily. Yes?
Question on what I said. Not against, just like on.
Few.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, according to that, would if the animal had the same injury, right?
Yeah.
It was on the ground as opposed to in a pit where it could be treated. Would that play a...
I'm not sure. I hear what you're saying.
I mean, if you want to say that the injury has nothing to do with it,
right. I'm not sure.
You're still putter?
I would assume that we look at what it actually is and not what would have been. We're not going to look at the what ifs. We look at the situation in front of us. What? Yeah.
Second one is the. That's because it's not like a normal
that's
way.
The Rambam. Yeah.
That it's not normal or something?
Yeah, so again, presumably what that means is therefore I don't have to guard against it, so I can't be held responsible. One final point on this is the Chazon Ish mentions, and perhaps it fits in with everything we've been saying, that the only time there's a machlokas, I think you guys would like this, is the only time there's a machlokas between Rabbeinu Yohanan's son, Miluni, and the Meiri, whether you're going to pay for the Nezek, is if the animal leaves the pit. I mean, if the animal falls into the pit and then somehow gets out, walks, and then drops dead, so that's when we have this machlokas. That's when we have the machlokas. Is it, would you have to pay for the damage that took place beforehand? But if it stays in the pit and it's a few seconds later and it bleeds out, whatever it is, that for sure, says the Chazon Ish, everybody, Rabbi Yonasan and the Meiri would both agree that you're putter. Because there you see very strong, like the Svar, like Eitan was saying, that it's one Maisa. It fell into the pit. That's a Maisa of Misha. When you have a Hava, meaning that maybe you should distinguish, is if it got up, or I don't know, literally or figuratively, and it walks. If it walks away, it walks out of the pit. And again, if it could be a small pit. It could be a one Tepach pit. Right? As long as it was because of this, because we're dealing with less than 10. I think if you add that Chazon Ish to it, I think it makes the whole thing a lot easier to understand. Now we're not gonna. You're right. If it falls into the pit and it's dying 30 seconds later, we're gonna try to figure it out. You know, quickly take it. Take out the stethoscope and listen to the assurer's heart. Is it still alive? And no. That far we're not gonna go. Then that's one action. But once it's walking away, so now maybe we have separated between the damage and the death. And that's where they have their machlokas. Okay. Let's put that aside for the moment. Says the Gemara Vayter. Again, let's not lose track of where we are and where we're going. We're trying to figure out, in terms of Rav Papa, right, of the same law of Kayotze Vahen, what is it referring to? So we're dealing with Bor, and we suggested that maybe the Ab should be Bor Yud, the Toldo should be Bor Test, and that's what we rejected yesterday, that they both are considered to be an Ab. So we still don't even know what a Tolda of Bor would be to even begin to ask the question, is it Kayotze Bor or not Kayotze Bor? So the Gemara suggests, says the Gemara, Ella, rather, Ha'avono, Sakino, Umaso, Sheinichon, Bishus, Arabim, Beheziku. What are we talking about when we're talking about a Tolda of Bor? So again, a person's Evan, rock, stone, sakino, hasakin shelo, right, his knife, his machete, umaso'o, or his big knapsack, burden, some load, that he leaves in the Rishus Rabban, and it damages. Says Rashi, avano sakino sheinicham Rishus Rabban, v'nitkelo v'hem ne'adam. So what's the rest of the story? Somebody trips on it. Somebody chips on it. So as opposed to a bore, which is a hole in an obstacle that somebody's going to fall into, that's not what we're talking about. Now we're talking about a raised object that belongs to a person. He leaves it in the public domain, and somebody chips on it and gets hurt. So in that case, perhaps they told a bore. It's not exactly bor, right? Bor is a pit. This isn't a pit. But on a deeper level, no pun intended, a bor is an obstacle in the that I have placed in the public domain and could injure somebody. These are also examples of obstacles that I place in the public domain and cause somebody to become injured.
Why did you use these specific ones?
As opposed to leaving, you know, my shoe? I don't know. I think these are just common things that somebody might leave.
Okay.
But anything else?
What's in heaven? Like, why does someone have in heaven?
Why does someone have in heaven?
Yeah.
You don't have any of them.
No, I don't have any.
I don't know. You have bricks. You have things. I don't know.
You walk it.
I don't know. I don't have a good answer. Yeah.
Yeah. You ever say, like, you know, like, yeah, you put it there and it shouldn't put it there, like, the guy should have been more careful when he was walking?
Yeah.
So, like...
We do. That, again, the broader discussions of bor are later on.
And, like, if you think it's pretty obvious if there's a huge bag, sort of, if you're walking. I mean, I guess maybe if it's, like...
But what about a person's animal?
What?
What about a person's animal?
Oh, isn't talking about a person getting down?
Yeah, it might be. But it could be both.
Right, so I feel like the das of a person would be more...
Yeah. Again, it does come up. Again, these sugyas at the beginning are not comprehensive in terms of any one of the avos. They're not meant to be comprehensive. The rest of the masechta fills in a lot of the blanks. I know it sometimes can be a little bit frustrating, but that's the derech of Bava Kama.
We're going to get through all of it.
Be'ezet Hashem. And then at some point, I don't know when. It may take a few years. Okay. So... Says the Gemara. Good. So rather than talking about Evan Sakino Sashinek, which is a rabbi Ezekiel, the Gemara asks, Dami, what's the case? Eid Apkirino. Says Rashi, Sheikh Kirin and his son, which is a rabbi. If he made it hefker, he made it ownerless. He said, I am not interested in this Evan Sakin or Masav anymore, not mine. And he leaves it in the public domain. Then, Bein Rav, Bein Shmuel, Hainu Bor. Then, according to both Rav and Shmuel, that is Bor. What is this Rav and Shmuel that we are referring to? So Rashi tells us, Dupliki Verga Minech Sakad. So the Gemara Daat of Ches Amud Beis, there's a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel about a jug which breaks in Rishus HaRabim and somebody gets injured because of it. And there they have a focus whether it makes a difference if I was mafkir it or not. So if I was mafkir it was ownerless, then both agree, hainu bor, that this is the same as bor. Zaprashi, hainu bor, the tarvai army, because they both say kota kola shahifkir, nafka lami bor de chayiv. That any obstacle, that is hefker. We learn out from bor is going to be chayim. Why do we learn it out from bor? What does bor have to do with hefker? Because the nature of a bor, as a paradigm, is that it's ownerless. Because the bor that we are talking about is a bor in a rishus harabim. I am allowed to dig a bor in my own field. And if your animal falls into my bor, we basically say, what is your animal doing in my field? Right? It's your problem, not my problem. So the bor that we are talking about, when the Torah says that we're talking about a bor, is a bor that does not belong to me. So Rav and Shmuel look at that and say, if I need to extend bor to other obstacles, I see that if you have an obstacle that a person leaves in the public domain and does not belong to him, hainu bor. That is bor. That is bor. And kihevi the bor chiyuv rishus harabim midav hefker, just like the chiyuv of bor is in rishus harabim hefker. Maybe it's my personal bor in rishus harabim. Then it's not in rishus harabim, right? By definition, if it's my personal bor, it's my rishus hayachid, which happens to break up the rishus harabim. But it can't be mine and in the rishus harabim. So it is talking about a bor that does not belong. Kidamrin on the Kaman Park Shoshanaga Zapara, because later on in the parak called Shoshanaga Zapara, Shah Iske, Kriya Psycho, Bolo, Akhota Koloshif Kirchayim. Okay, so Kriya Psycho are the two verbs that are used by the Torah to describe the digging of the bor. And the Gemara there derives that any takala and shemach are going to be chayv on as an extension of bor.
What's bala over there?
Bala comes about because of. You'll have to see that Gemara Hashem at some point. So says the Gemara, so if it's afkarino, if we're talking about avanos akimah, so sheni chamishu serabim, and I am afkarit, that is exactly bor. That is exactly bor. And if v'i on top of him is v'i de lo afkarino, and if he was not mafkirit, according to Shmuel, that would still be bor. And if it was according to Rav, Rav learns that if it's a takala which comes about because of my object, that is an extension of shor. How exactly the shor, where it fits into shor, is a little bit beyond what we're trying to do right here. Is that what you're going to ask?
Yeah. Well, Rashi explained it.
Rashi explains
it's
a little
like
bit.
It's just like something that caused damage, that's your...
Yeah. So in a general, in a broader sense, without getting into the unique aspects, and maybe this is supported a little bit by the brisker rub that we've seen, that, you know, shor in a general sense is responsibility for my things that damage. The differences between keren, shein, and regel are about the specific pturim. So maybe it doesn't fit so precisely into any of those three categories, but in a broader sense, it certainly fits into shor. It's my mamun shehizik. My mamun shehizik. Is it kavanaso, not kavanaso? That's a little bit of a broader question when we get to that Gemara, hopefully at some point. Right, so Rashi says, either the after and the Shmuel Damar Dasa Moin Ech Zakad, but the Belaboru, Baba Gabzo Hifkarani Bor. So Shmuel holds that any time the Tekol and Shusa Rabim that I put there, that is Bor. The Bor of the Torah, I don't own. Okay, there's a difference. That's not a fundamental characteristic, it's a characteristic. For the Tolda of Bor, it's sufficient that I put the takala in the Rishus HaRabim and it caused damage. I don't need that particular of it being Shalhafkar. And Rav will say, just like shor is my money that damages, so too this is my money that damages. It does not fit into bor at all.
Explain Shmuel.
Can I explain Shmuel? Basically, what Shmuel seems to be saying. What's the svara? The svara is that I see that the Torah tells me that I'm going to be chayiv if I put something in the Rishus HaRabim. If I put something in the Rishus HaRabim and somebody chips in, I'm going to be chayiv. Sure is not, Shmuel's going to say, sure is not cases of somebody tripping over my shore. It's my shore actively damaging. Right? Not a passive type of damage. Bor is a passive type of damage. I put it there, and then the damage happens. So Shmuel's going to say, any damage that's like bor, in that I put a stumbling block in the Rishus HaRabim, and people are going to be injured because of that, I am responsible for it with all of the dinim of bor. You'll tell me about the bor is hefker. Shmuel's going to say, you're right. But the reason that the bor is high is not because it's hefker. That's a detail that applies to a bor and Rishus HaRabim.
Which is why this is told up.
Exactly. Exactly. That's an av.
That would be more lucky to them because it's not similar enough.
So that's why there's a haver, I mean, exactly. According to Shmuel, that's the next line of the Gemara. Right? At this point, according to Rav, Avana Sakino and Sosh Nitham Rishus HaRabim, and your Mavkirit, is there really any svara to say that that's not going to be kayotze behind?
I mean, that is going to be kayotze behind.
That it's not going to be kayotze. Of course it's going to be kayotze behind. Yeah, according to Rav.
Who says it's like a short?
According to Rav, the case of I take my knife and I leave it in the Rishus HaRabim and I'm machter it and somebody gets injured, is there any svara to say that that is going to be a tolda of bor that is not kayotze bo?
He doesn't say it's a tolda of bor.
Isn't Shimon the one who says?
No, it's half your animal.
Again.
No, it's half your animal.
Again. If you have, right, Sakin, Virshus Harabim, right, Vihifkir. It's Hefker and somebody gets hurt. According to Rav.
Toward everyone.
Let's take Rav first. Take Rav first. According to Rav, what's the law in this case?
High. Poor, but that means poor.
What category?
All four. Told on board.
It's bore. Whether it's a told or whether it's an av is a good question. Right?
I would mean an av.
Maybe it's similar enough. Let's assume it's a told. Fine. It's a told. Okay? Let's take told. We're trying to figure out our toldos kayotzev and not kayotzev ben. Is there any svara or any that I would really think that this is a told which is not kayotzev? It seems that every characteristic of a bor, so the ora would be kayotzebo. The only tzad at this point to think that this is a total of kayotzebo would be to say that Rav Papa holds like Shmuel, because according to Shmuel, right, bidelo hefker, if it's not hefker, right, it's still equals bor. So this told of bor
is different.
I now it is such a big difference. The av is hifkir. The told of is low hifkir. So maybe, at least it's a possibility, maybe that is not kayotzebo. Maybe this is Rav Papa lav kayotzebo. Maybe this is what Rav Papa was referring to. Rav Papa was an amora. Rav Papa doesn't have to necessarily be true according to Rav also. As long as we can find a shita which would say that we have a tolda which is not kayotzebo, then we're happy. Then we're happy. So that's really where the Gemara is standing right now. Again, we're trying to find a tolda which is not going to be kayotzebo. According to Rav, we may have found a tolda, but the tolda is definitely going to be kayotze, because it's exactly like the av. The only difference between the av and the tolda, according to Rav, is whether we're talking about a pit or a raised object that I put there. But all the other details are the same. It's very hard to believe that that's going to result in something being not kayotze, though. But according to Shmuel, there's a bigger difference between the av and the tolda. Not only is it raised object versus inside the pit, but the pit is hefker, and this is not. Because according to Shmuel, even when you're not mafkir, it's still bor. According to Rav, it's shor, so it's a different category. And shor, we already know what the halacha is.
But I'm saying Shmuel in the first second verse of hefker would seem to be Rav.
In a kind. So it would only be this case, bidul mafkir.
I'm saying, but why didn't you group Shmuel and Rav together in the first case? I just confused
you. I confused you, I thought it would make it clearer. No problem.
It's only in the second
case. Yeah. I was just trying to. I thought it would be clear that way. Kamash malan not. Okay. Let's look. It is exactly what Rashi says in the Rashi of Hainu Shor. Hainu Shor, again, it's according to Rav. The Rav told of the Borin. It was not told of Borin at all. Again, in the case of Loaf Karinu, then it's Shor according to Rav. And when it comes to Shor, but Shor Amar Nel, the Tolda Shor is Shor. And we already know that all the Toldas of Shor are like Shor. Vafilu Shmuel Nami Nar Tolda Debor, no. And even according to Shmuel who says that it is a Tolda Debor, which case are we talking about? We're talking about this case, with the low hip here. That's what Rashi is talking about. The case was not after, the case that according to Rav is Shor, according to Shmuel is Bor. My chazis, Luke, when most of the Rav Papa told of the bor, you can't say that it's talking about bor, not because of some external problem. You know, how can Rav Papa only be according to Shmuel? Well, that's we're fine with that. But Rashi says that's the continuation of the Gemara. My shna. Now look back inside the Gemara. My chazis. What did we see to want to do this? I mean, what was driving us? The Gemara. He's explaining the Gemara. Rashi's filling in what we're missing in the Gemara. Again, the Gemara is bringing this in order to figure out what Rav Papa is talking about. So why would we think to put this, to say that this is the case of Rav Papa?
Because it's the only one that makes sense.
That was a Havamin, so now the Gemara is going to answer. Maishna, now the Gemara says, why is this Svara that it's not true? Right, so look back inside the Gemara now. Says the Gemara, Hefker isn't one of the defining characteristics. Hefker isn't. You're right, the Mamluk is Rav and Shmuel about it, but that's not going to be the details that determine if it's Kayotze Bo or not. The details that determine if it's going to be Kayotze Bo or not is, right, is is it from its inception hazardous? Mamoncha Ushmirasan Alefa. So at this point, the Gemara is going to conclude that we'll come back to understanding Mamoncha in a second.
Another thing.
Is it about Mamoncha?
Yeah, but
no.
Another way of looking at it.
No. Just one second. I just want to finish the. We'll get there. One second. Ella told the Deborah Kabor. So rather, it comes out that the tolda of Bor is like Bor, because Hefker is not a defining characteristic. They're similar enough. If they're similar enough, then the dinim are going to be the same, and we still don't have a source for Papa. Yes, too much. I just need to get that line out.
Besides the obvious question, my mom said about Bor is not.
Yeah, okay. There.
But I'm saying even when it says, Aninami.
Yeah.
This is someone's like Mamoncha.
Yeah.
In this case, it's when you we're talking about when you didn't mafker it. We're talking about when it didn't mafker it.
Right.
Hainami.
It is your mama. Right.
Ah, so it's your mama. Fine, so it's just really just that question.
Right. Yeah, you have a question?
I was gonna say why is it that Hefker is not a defining characteristic?
So the Gemara understood that it's similar enough. Again, if you think back for the 40th time or so, to the Brisker Rav, right? The way, again, it makes things just so much clearer. If we're looking for Kayotze Bo, it's basically looking, is it similar or not? How similar is it? Is Gemara saying this is already very similar? Hefker, that's a prot. It's a detail. You're never going to have everything exactly the same. The Gemara just said that's not what's driving, things over here. The problematic one over here is Mamoncha. Because, right, it's comparing the boar to Avonis Akinu Maso, which I was not mafkir. It's the case of Avonis Akinu Maso, which I was not mafkir, that is my mamon. That's okay. But boar is not my mamon. It's not my money. So what's the Gemara talking about? How can the Gemara say that it is mamoncha?
Also, when it says machazis lukmei b'osad er papot, that's basically saying why, according to Shmuel, why are we assuming that's a lot of kiosk behind?
Right.
Because we thought to show that it's not a fact.
Right. It's not written down more as a question and answer, it's more as a statement.
And that's not enough to make it not. Meaning, because we said in Brisker Ho, we said it's supposed to be very identical, so it would seem like it's not kiosk behind based on Brisker Ho.
No, Brisker Ho is saying the end of Gemara is saying it's not. The Gemara is saying that just the detail of Hefker missing is no different than the fact that a boar is a pit and this is raised. There are going to be differences. So Tosfos says, "Don't bother you guys, Mamon. What are you talking about? Umamon v'lav davka. The Gemara was being imprecise. Didn't really mean it when it said that the boar is your money. Gabi boar. The lav mamonahu, because it's not your mamon. V'chein gabi eish. The same thing is true by eish, where it says mamoncha." Tosfos says, if you have a fire in, a torch, one of those tiki things, in your backyard, and I come in and I take it, and I light my friend's backyard on fire, who's
chayav?
I'm the person who lit it, is chayav. It doesn't have to do with whose mamon it is. There are some damages where it has to do with the mamon, and some where it's not clearly, it has nothing to do with whose money,
It doesn't really mean mamoncha, it's like yours, it just means you're chayav for it.
Oh, right. But again, the Gersa of Mamoncha does seem to exist, first of all, in our... So again, there are those that want to just take the Gersa out. That's the easiest way, right? Tosfos' answer is difficult. Because saying that it's imprecise already is, you know... Why did Gemara say it?
No, because he's saying like it just means like the fact that you're chayav for it, responsible for it, and responsible to guard it.
Right. So again, that's presumably correct. That's presumably the answer, but a little bit better than that. Right. The Gemara later on says, and presumably if you have the Girsa, you say Mamonva, the Gemara later on, Daf Kaf Tes, says that there are certain things that are not in your Rishos, they're not in your possession, and the Torah made it as if it's in your possession, meaning you're responsible for it, and one of them is Bor Rishos Harabim. So it's not your Mamon in the classic sense of it being your Mamon, but it's another way of defining why it is that you're responsible for it. It's like your Mamon. The other way of looking at it is, well, once you have what Tosos says, right, once Tosos is willing to say, once that Mamonka, right, in the case if Mamonka is going to be problematic because of what you said by Aish, where obviously it doesn't have to do with ownership, so I don't know, wouldn't the same thing be true by Shane and Regal also? If I let your animal out, or I'm Mishaleach, or Ozil Amel, I open the door, and then it damages, who's going to be Chayiv? Presumably I'm going to be Chayiv, not going to. So again, every case, in a certain sense, is Lav Davka Mamonka, but it would seem to me that Mamonka is just a broader way of saying that it's your responsibility. Right. That it's your responsibility.
Who would be that
answer?
The Torah makes it as if it's
for I don't know if that's it.
Okay. So basically either
I think it makes sense.
So response to like, well, why would the Gemara use this? Because it's just another way of Mamoncha.
It's another way of stressing that, you know, that it's more than just a Chiyuv Shmira, but you're like fundamentally responsible for it. Okay, looks like we're basically running out of time. So basically what we're left with right now is the Gemara still has not been able to figure out, which tolda is not chayotze over papa. And as the Gemara concludes over here, v'chikam papa tolda de mava. So our next attempt is going to be the next av that we have in the Mishnah of mava, and try to figure out, is mava going to chayotze or not chayotze bo? That, as Hashem, will work on tomorrow, again with the early shir tomorrow at 11 o'clock.